jazz weekend in mind. It's called There's Always One Crazy Person Dancing by Themselves. You enter the dance floor as if stepping off a cliff. Start to move like a disoriented penguin trying to blend in. Give the floor a tap with your feet, arms stuck by your side, hands giving the odd flap to the beat. Think it's okay, no one's watching, but someone is always watching. An awkward dancer is one of life's more injury, like minor car crashes or septic spots. You push through, keep swaying. By the end of the second zone, your thoughts dissolve into your bloodstream quite unexpectedly. Your body is in charge now. Orders from your core bypass the brain, go straight to hips and limbs, liberated now from their pulling points. Feet pound steadily in tribal rhythm. Balance, balance, balance. Your body incarnates every song. And the voice of your ancestors says, dance, 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 until your outer layer, the one that cares what people think, shatters all over like eggshell. And you shake, shake, shake it off. Send shards of ego to the ground, revealing a bright, shiny view underneath. There is always one. Tonight, you are a crazy person, dancing by themselves, without a care.
Next up, the open mic, all the way from New Zealand, on the other side of the world, Mike Eager, please.
From watching westerns, this poem's called From Watching Westerns. This is going to have a little change in the middle to one that's called Poem in Search of the Point of Least Resistance, to be marked with a mandala, and then The Boy with a Bucket of Smoke. From watching westerns, I know that a man dying of thirst shouldn't drink too deep at first. When he does chance upon that miracle pool and hellhole desert. And I don't know exactly the physiological effects that ensue. I do know they must be pretty damn bad to have scared John Wayne. And I've noticed him being pretty cagey around the ladies too. Just after he's in on the trail. So excuse me if I just lie here for a while, soaking your loving in through the skin. Blunt, blunt, blunt the beak, banging against the shell, smashing against those walls, trying to crack a way in, not knowing the concept of out, knowing only this world, and that there must be somewhere else. The sun is dark there, and the moon has no light to reflect. make friends with a snake, hold tight to its back. If they glide you down a throat that opens, there is dying to be faced in these shadow places that equipped you for the ages you have forgotten, when you were other than who you are now. If your mouthful of air doesn't wrench you up too soon to the surface, you'll go through graves of earth and water, find yourself somewhere you could never have imagined. Yes, you are here now, undulant amongst the galaxies of interactive stars, or in that wide sea entirely shot through with light, or slopping up against the shoreline somewhere, crying joyfully, I am human. I am human.
Goldfish in the valley below us. On the horizon, chimney smoke strings up to the neon-colored cloud cover. This town can't hold its liquor, you said. Then you lit another cigarette. You swept your pale fingers through the darkening light, like a young girl through a springtime pond might. To scatter goldfish, perhaps. Or her reflection. Next up, Emily Davis Fletcher, please.
Between women. There you are, I imagine. Your breasts. Oh.
It's okay.
There you are, I imagine. Your breasts and laughter filling my void. The cat I saved folds itself inside the bee you make in bed. He pours himself into you and will show you to all his friends. And my name will break silently, like lightning reversing in their minds. I thought of writing you so many times to warn you about his electric move, suffocating in its unchanging switch. His love won't be any transforming fire while you burn beside him holes for breathing. I feel you following me like a younger sister, leading you into what I will outgrow. Though I'm sure you're older, thinking you know more. He's not your first to your advantage. Yet I feel responsible, while the girls or women before me took their insight with them. Their magnetism, fruitlessly rubbing, polishing him in ways unseen in photos, shed blindly as dead skin, leaving no broken chain of letters, stuffed under the mattress, or pressed against backs of drawers, waiting for me to find, and tear their advice, their empathy, into tiny teeth, to cut new words, swallow their warnings with my own instinct, or stop searching for points, spreading out naked in bed, with story after story, like trusted stars. He pointed to an honest, lonely, unlucky man, between warm, flowing words, and when he didn't say. When you ask, he will reduce me to a simple, exaggerated shape. An American, out of a teepee of therapy, calling everyone alcoholic. But you will know without words, written or spoken. You will share my thoughts while he sleeps at your left side. We come from the same bed. Our father's distant, our mother's confidants. We close the distance between their past and our next step. Knowing why all our walks with him end in bars. Why the picture of his daughter is 8 years old. Why we give him time to change, like dropping pennies in a well, and live circling spent wishes of another woman.
Connor McManus, please.
Thanks, Freddie. When that haze lifts, she fills the kettle and I hear her call the captain for his box tea and rasher. And I hear the captain coughing, cigarette coughs, and in his vest and underpants at the sink shaving, blowing out his cheeks as he pulls the razor across and pumping air into his lower lip, delicately under the nose, plashing water up on his face, blowing out noisily like a whale. Around the back of his neck, big blow, rinse the sink, sitting on the bed in his shirt and underpants, putting on his socks, tightening up his tie in the mirror, he stretches his neck like a turtle. No, no tie today, he thinks. It's too hot. I can read him like a book. Clodge. Clodge. That's him moving. He's in his socks at the top of the stairs, left hand on the newel post, shoes in his right. He'll put them on when he gets down. Are you up? I am. Come on. Clodge. Clodge. Down he goes. He moves to the wall, taking the bend in the stairs, his head almost touching the proclamation. I hope to God he doesn't start making phone calls, ringing half the country with five-penny pieces. Clink chunk, clink chunk. No, there's the latch. He's out on the street to see if anyone or anything is moving. He used to tell me he rode with Billy the Kid and fought shoulder to shoulder with John Wayne and Davy Crockett at the Alamo, and that he was a sniper in the FCA, but I don't know if I can believe him anymore. I jump out of bed and run over to the window and lift the neck curtain. I can just see the top of his head. I remove a shoe and Beano annual that's kept keeping the draft out where a small pane is broken. The noise of the world rushes in. He crosses the dry concrete to the brown cut stone wall that runs the length of High Street to a place beside the copper beech trees and leaves his shoes on the wall. Like a captain at the prow, he leans on his thumbs and knuckles, like he does on the pew at Mass, when he goes and looks onto Low Street. The hollow sound of the convent bell greets him. It's 10 to 8. He looks straight ahead to the bank, no light on yet. He looks to the right, down to Jimmy's shop, to the left, up to the barrack door. The barrack door is open. Mr. and Mrs. Steady, slicked and curled, come walking on the footpath around the Kerry Road corner, past Healy's closed shop door, and pass along in the shadow of the bank, heading up to Mass in the convent. Joe Healy, shopkeeper, exits his own door and follows them laughing. cars from Ballinacleera direction change down hard as they come into the tight corner at the red light, and change up and accelerate as they come up Law Street, and change down and brake hard to take the turn for Carrick on two wheels on the way to work with the council, or the P&T, or the ESB. Have to be there for eight. Early start. You'd swear it was Mandela. A girl stands on the corner waiting for a lift. She's there rain or shine. The tink, clink, clink of jam jars as a forklift hits a rut on its cargo bottles, carries across the dirty roofs of the market yard and into the crevices of the town. And on the sloping ground behind the roofs, he sees a blue coat with a white paper hat walking across the sloping yard. Nolan, the floor manager, on the move already, loading up for June or Dubai. The Arabs like their jam. The baker's widow and her hanging mantilla passes on the way up to Connors Mass. Morning. Royal blue uniform schoolgirls and a woman with a plastic bag stand under the canopy of Croft's shop entrance, waiting for the bus. A man gets out of one car on Law Street and jumps into another and heads in the Carrick direction. The long fiberglass area bends like a roach ball with a perch, almost touching the road as the driver accelerates away. A white van pulls to a halt in front of Jimmy's and throws out newspapers and speeds off. Black flags adorn the telephone poles. Tim Dunnow pushes his car down Law Street, sweeping, swift swoop from the eaves of the thatched roof. A willy wagtail hops from the wall to the street and back to the wall again. Crows rising and settling in Jimmy's chimney pots. One shot would get the two of them. Father Dignan, your priest Melchizedek, late for Mass, stops and knocks the hall door of the corner house to buy the independent from a Republican publican so he can read it while the nuns serve up his soft boiled egg, pinch of salt, butter, and their best china after a quick Mass. For Jimmy of the shop is not yet out of bed. And the master, an old Republican with one eye, God knows why, active service maybe, or just some misadventure in his youth, marches briskly down Law Street. Suit trousers creased and turned up, black shoes shining, his felt fedora shading his eyes and his specially made black-rimmed glasses with one clear pane and one frosted pane hiding his bad eye, inned by the press of an old comrade. How are you this morning, master? Jimmy's wife nudges him out and he brings in the newspapers and puts their strings on the top of the ice cream fridge and looks at page 3 before the first farmer comes in for a large bottle of red lemonade that will be used to quench thirst before noon in a dry meadow, or at a reap the size of a house, or a pipe behind a byre, or in a hay barn where he's forked a cage to the roof of the buckwheat to the young lads tramping it down and resting. Across the square from Jimmy's, up the butcher dreams of his red TR7 with its pop-up headlamps, and Gerard Malloy in his third-story bedroom high above Law Street and over the bank dreams of secret agents and double agents and World War II. I know my mother likes jazz, John Wayne and Seven Rides for Seven Brothers. She likes the word synchronize and hates the word gorgeous. She likes Turkish delight and fruit and nut and hates lachikos, Haverhills, black provos and rats. She drinks tea from a china cup and likes to put the milk in first, and reminds us she was named after the Queen. She has two books on the shelf, both of equal size and both in brown paper covers. One is the dictionary and the other is a cookery book. She goes to Dublin for the day on the train and gets her hair done with in Peter Marks, brothers that she sat beside in school. She dresses us in the morning in front of a paraffin heater. She loves Cayley House and Sunday Miss Andy, and sits in the gallery at 9 o'clock Mass, and we sit with her, looking out over the altar and the Sacred Heart light, and Father Dignan down on the bald heads and Tom Gaffney haircuts. In the kitchen, the captain sits on his chair beside the table, pauses and thinks of the day before putting his feet into his shoes. He thinks of his egg too, and how would you like your egg, sir? With another one, ha ha ha. And my mother turns on the radio and synchronizes her watch. It's 8:00.
that. So Sue Cosgrave, please.
I was going to read something I haven't read here before, but I think I want to hear how this sounds to jazz. Two 16-year-old girls in a dark car park at night, celebrating the birthday of one, and a man comes and accosts them with some drugs.
Right.
It's okay. Just giving you a hint. This is called Charlie'd. No path is steep that leads to a friend. Yeah. And she is like a babe in a basket. And Charlie Moses, pitch seamless with friendship. Desire liquefies all its slime, even friendship. Friendship more so than anything else. Makes you wonder, makes you ponder. Everyone's been there, done that, but it's huge, like sweet 16 have never been. There she goes, scrolling epigraphs, a litany, an incantation that binds, and a as strong, as weak as cool fucking look. She finds the world empty at its core, fingers in darkness, and stains her tips with ink of lies. She falls for a quick fix, a quick talk, a quick shag. Who's there to keep score? Oppression, advantage, suppression, devotion. Fucking lonely wanderings in closet molded. This bugger all in the end, not even take the friendship. Where she now, tomorrow, the day after, 50 years from now. There she goes, unraveled and stitched, shafted, shifted, scrolled off the graffiti walls. Not an incantation, not an epigraph, not a litany of the rasping tone of the world. Not a litany on the rasping tongue of the world. What? What? You wanted more?
Yeah, I really want to apologize because not everybody's going to get front tonight. I'm sorry about that. Other names on the list. Come back next week. Sometimes time just moves on, you know. It's a cruel bitch of a mistress. Thanks, man. But we've got time for one more person. I'm going to have to apologize to Patricia, Michael, Joel, and Kieran. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
They can do it in the
I'm really sorry. Back. Yeah. But I've got time for Oro Regan. What, it's you? Jesus, Rosie! Sorry.
I feel bad now. I feel bad. Okay, sorry, guys.
It's very simple. Not complicated at all to me. It's about how music can be your savior. It's for you guys, really. It's for you. And it's short. Like me. A person can be lost, fall into place, no trace of confusion. the space bound in an instant. While you foot drum your grounding, nimble fingers fly. String, sing your belonging, the fullness of the moment. When music lifts the lid, there is no hiding. You do not shy away, and just like that, you are where you're meant to be. The music plays you.